Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to talk about our breath and healing and life with a very interesting man who I've met and I'm excited to interview because he is a true shaman, a true medicine man who had incredible early teachings and through his whole life has been on that path. And so I'm excited to have him on the show, and that's Ben Ufana. Ben, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
I'm so glad that you could be on Energy Stew. So I'm excited about the path that you've been on. And you have a book called Emergence that I've read, and it was fascinating to read your history, to understand the healer in you and and why you're a healer and what you've learned over this really dynamic life of starting out in the Southwest with Native Americans, even.
Oklahoma, New Mexico.
So let's talk about what that all is about. You were born in Texas?
Or? Actually, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. But you were down there pretty quickly.
Yeah.
All right. And let's start with this one tribe that you started, you found yourself with, and a medicine man, medicine doctor, who really was an authentic Native American healer. So can you talk about that?
Sure. From an early age, I think from the time I was two, I was drawn to Native people. And I started going around Native communities. There were a lot of people who migrated down to Texas to find work. And some of the people who came down to visit from Oklahoma, you know, like I had, well, by the time I was 14, I decided if I was ever given the opportunity that I would train with a Native doctor. And by the time I was 15, I started saving money, making my plans to leave and go on my own. And so I was on my way through Oklahoma, headed to New Mexico, but my car died in Oklahoma.
And how old were you at that point?
17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty young.
Yeah. And so I find myself in this Native community, predominantly Kiowa, Kiowa Apache, and then Comanche. And I started going into the peyote meetings. And so my mentor was living on the Navajo Reservation in New Mexico, married to a Navajo woman, but he would come back occasionally to run the peyote meetings and to treat patients, to doctor. And so I wanted so much to learn, and I approached him. Physically, I was shaking and asked him, you know, I want to learn to do the work you're doing. And he just said, what are you doing this weekend? Can you start fasting? And so I'm still shaking, just said, yeah, sure. And so I go and sit in my car in the Wichita Mountains for 2 days and nights with no food and no water. Nothing really happened that time. He was just testing me. He wanted to see that I was serious. And then he had me come out and stay with him in New Mexico on the Navajo Res a few months later. And the training was very intensive. I mean, a lot of these individuals, these old Native doctors, had paranormal abilities, so he would actually take objects like the end of a feather and physically transmit these objects into my body or project them. And I'd go into something akin to a seizure momentarily, and I just feel this presence in my body. You know, something like awakening. And it was, he'd have me assisting him at points. One of the things they did commonly, these Native doctors, is they would use suction. And like if somebody had blood clots or pneumonia, they would use the suction and they would extract, draw things out of the body this way. And I remember that first time, you know, doing that, and blood clots came out of a man who was paralyzed in a construction accident. And I was like shocked, you know, I was like, it's working. It's in those blood clots, you know. And once I pulled them out, and my mentor just put them on a plate, and he's like, you know, just showing me, you know. I would just assist them, and I was so afraid to begin to start off with, and he said, I can't hold your hand through everything, you know, you're going to have to get out there and start working with people, you know, you have it, just, you know, actually work with people, and it's going to reveal itself.
And you were still so young, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And so there's been an incredible path since then.
Mm-hmm.
You've actually moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Those are people who are mostly gone, and you've found new people to study with in other parts of the world, even.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, can you talk about some of your travels?
Spent a lot of time in India and Sri Lanka, and it's a very ambiguous relationship. I could see a lot of the beauty in the Hindu Vedic tradition, and yet I feel very disturbed by the whole Brahmanization, you know, the hijacking of the religion by the Brahmin caste and the marginalization of the people who were deemed low caste, you know, because it's just an insidious form of class apartheid. And yet what draws me to India in Sri Lanka is that there's also a warmth, you know, among many of the people. And, you know, if you go back far enough, they were also tribal peoples. You know, the Hindu religion actually came in from the north, and you had all these, you know, the ones that are still classified as tribal groups are called Adivasi. But you go back far enough, and most of them were tribal groups.
And it's interesting because the people who came from the north were known as the Aryans.
Right. Which had nothing to do with those folks in Germany that wanted
right.
to think they were.
Right.
And then also being in China. And I've been training with the master from China for 11 years in the internal martial arts, Xing Yi Quan, Bagua Zhang, and there's Tai Chi and Qigong. But Xing Yi and Bagua have their roots in the Taoist tradition. And a lot of these practices go back thousands of years. But it really came into its, I guess you'd say its high point, say like about 100 years ago.
Yeah. Well, these journeys have been great. And yet there's a healer in you that had to come through.
Mm-hmm.
Because you needed so much of your own healing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's a path, and I believe that the best healers are the wounded healers.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Because we come from doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm fascinated with the kind of healing that you've done for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And can you talk about your mission quests?
Vision quests.
Yeah. Vision quests.
There was a tremendous amount of physical and emotional abuse, for one, when I was growing up, and which was, had a very debilitating impact on me. And there was also, you know, I had apprenticed with my mentor, and he didn't really understand a lot of the, like, he had this tremendous power. Of all the healers I've seen all over the world, I have yet to see anyone who is as powerful and as gifted as he was in his day. But not knowing how to deal with the emotional component, he ended up getting into trouble in the end. So he transmitted portions of his power to me, and a lot of the early trauma was coming up. And at the same time, here on my own and not quite knowing what to do, and there weren't other native doctors to go to that I was aware of. And so I remembered, like, the old native doctors had, you know, gone to spend the 4 days and nights alone in the mountains without food and water going through the vision quest. And so it's like, oh yeah, I need to go back to the Wichita Mountains in Oklahoma, and like these old Native doctors. And
so and on your own?
On my own.
Without food or water for 4 days each time.
I just contacted a friend and just said, this is what I want to do. Will you just, you know, help me get to the mountain? And you know, he would drop me off, and I would go hike up top of the mountain, not eating, not drinking. Parts of it are like a near-death experience. It's various areas of my life will be flashing before my eyes rapidly, all the feelings attached to it. In many instances, there would be experiences, a whole succession of experiences that were blocked out, had no access, no recollection, and all this is just coming out, you know, just one impression after another, and all the feelings attached to them, and it would be just dismantling, you know, like the problem that many of us experience who have been subjected to various traumatic experiences is a lot of this is so hardwired into our makeup. You know, we're fixated in that trauma, so even though we go into psychotherapy or do various healing modalities or whatever, it's we're locked in that context. And the good thing for me about going through the vision quest is systematically it just kept dismantling this these areas of, you know, that were so deeply entrenched.
But a lot of people would say that's very dangerous to do.
People have in some instances died, you're right, you know, it can be. So it is putting oneself on the line to do this.
But I don't only mean physically so much as also psycho-emotionally. Mm-hmm. You're opening yourself up, you're getting rid of those blocked feelings mm-hmm. and circumstances that you've been shielding yourself about, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they're running loose in your consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one can build themselves up to this kind of experience, though.
So it's a building up to it.
A building up to it.
Okay, good.
And part of it is also the work I've done with breath, you know, that's helped me build that
foundation. Right, and we want to talk a lot about that because mm-hmm. it's one of those powerful ways that you use mm-hmm. not only for your self-healing but to help your clients heal, too.
Right. And there's the importance of combining because, you know, there are periods of time in which I was very resistant. I didn't want to face or embrace certain realities. And I wasn't really doing the practice so much. And I'd go through the vision quest and all that power. And there were still parts of me that were frozen. And so it's like I needed to fully open, experience the feelings and work with the breath. So that once I went on the vision quest, these parts of me were malleable and the change could take place.
So the breath is a key to opening blocked energy.
It's critical.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how would you describe this type of breathing? There's so many different breathing methods.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, in a lot of meditative techniques, there are special breathing techniques that you have to grow into mm-hmm. and evolve into to be able to do those techniques without them blowing your mind.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about something that's not too elaborate, right?
Yeah, I've developed many versions over the years.
Okay.
You know, according to what's taking place, what I'm... whatever situation or challenge, and also, you know, people come to me with specific issues or concerns, so I'll vary the practice quite a bit.
And I'm thinking about our listeners, too, who right. might want to do some breathing on their own from what we're talking about. It doesn't have to be too complicated for them.
Definitely, yeah. I'll tell you how it started, and then I'll give a more, an example that can be applied across the board, let's say. When receiving the transmission from my mentor, when I begin to work with people, it starts stirring up a lot of the early trauma that needed to heal or process. And that was part of it. And the other thing is, once by the time I was in my mid-20s, the women I would attract at that time were reflecting a lot of the, reenacting a lot of the early abuse or trauma. And the what it was bringing up emotionally was excruciating. And I had gone into psychotherapy, and yet we were just talking about the same thing, and yet I was still in so much pain. Somehow, instinctively, I had a feeling I needed to just dive into the pain. And so, as excruciating as it was at the time, I would just begin to breathe very soft, very deep, and I would just keep following it. You know, whatever I was feeling, no matter how intense, I would just keep breathing. And there are times it did go on for hours, you know, just keep breathing, keep breathing. But at a certain point, it would just break open. And I would just feel the pain coming out of my body in waves. And I'd feel these emanations of warmth glowing from within. Now, the biggest mistake I made was when things were difficult, when they were bad, I would be doing the practice. And then I'd forget. Months could go by. I need to be doing this every day. I just didn't know that there were different applications. I gradually discovered them. There's a woman I was seeing, and she wanted to go ahead and, you know, she wanted something more committed, and I just wasn't at that place yet at that time. And she broke it off and started seeing someone else, and then just completely closed off to me. I have a sense of loyalty about me, so it's connections are very important, but I felt this sense of deadness in my heart. I just thought, well, what if I just start breathing into this deadness? And so I began to just driving from Santa Fe back to Albuquerque late at night, I would just center in my heart and just start breathing into that whole sense of deadness. And night after night, I kept following that, and it was just emptiness, loneliness, longing, just kind of an ache. Yeah.
So at first, the breathing wasn't showing you any signs of relief from your suffering.
Oh, yeah, it did. Remember I said how that pain came out of my body in waves?
Right, but still, as you said, you were breathing into the pain.
Yeah.
It wasn't that that just makes the pain disappear. Mm-hmm. It actually is a process that you're in.
Yeah.
That might start to relieve it, mm-hmm. but it also brings up deeper patterns that might be even more painful.
Yeah. Oftentimes it intensified the pain initially,
okay.
but then I would keep breathing with it, and it would go through this whole digestive process. A lot of times what happens is we go through so many areas of difficulty in our life, and we don't allow ourselves to fully experience the feelings for what they are. We shut them down. And in doing so, it creates this disconnect. And so what I discovered on my own, and there are people doing comparable practices, you know, things that are close, let's say, but I didn't have anyone showing me anything. This is what I was just finding, and later I discovered comparable practices, is just by being fully present, by opening up to what I was feeling in response to what was taking place in my life, I could drop my awareness in the middle of these feelings, breathing soft and deep, and it would activate this innate healing intelligence that resides within the body and mind. Like when you get a cut or a bruise, the body has this healing intelligence that initiates this process of repairing the damage. And
why can't it do it for the psyche?
It does.
Exactly.
You know, but we have to, in many instances, it cannot do so because we've created this disconnect.
We resist. Mm-hmm. We're afraid of it.
We're afraid of it. And also the fact that because we pushed it down or we disconnected from it, there's an armoring or some kind of buffering that develops there.
And it becomes unknown to us because we've pushed it off,
yeah,
that we become actually afraid of it.
Right. And so it exists in, like, let's say, a separate compartment. You know, there's barriers that prevent us from getting fully integrating with these parts of ourselves. Right. And so when something happens in our life that evokes stress or discomfort, and when we take that, when we use this as an opportunity, like the formula I work with is acknowledge what's happening. Step one. Two, what are you feeling in response to it? You know, is it hurt, anger, sadness? And it doesn't have to be uncomfortable feelings. There could be excitement, enthusiasm, looking forward to something. It's a whole range or spectrum of feeling. And three is, where are those feelings situated in your body? Are they in your chest, in your back, your further down in your abdomen, any number of places?
And often where it is represents physical ailments that we
True.
Hold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, like so many people with suffering from digestive issues, you know, because so much of the stress that they're not processing drops right down into the
intestines,
into the gut. Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
So some of your breathing has to do with breathing into body parts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there's so many ways that we can direct our breathing,
mm-hmm.
and we don't know what we're going to find,
mm-hmm.
and yet there's a process that you call digestion.
Right.
And I like that term, because what's happening is that our innate intelligence is actually doing the digesting
mm-hmm.
of our issues, our mm-hmm. psycho-emotional issues, to find the deeper wisdoms, and the deeper okayness, the deeper light, the deeper love.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to pull out some of these entanglements
mm-hmm.
that are very painful.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there's a factor to breathing that I've always been fascinated with that has to do with the body's using our breath to allow our brain to scan our bodies and our psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a lot of healing on the body using breathing
mm-hmm.
because as we direct the healing and people breathe through it, the brain actually can use its intelligence better.
Mm-hmm.
So our breath is actually a way to use our intelligence,
mm-hmm.
which is why you've developed these breathing techniques,
mm-hmm.
so that you're not just, it's not just a physical breath that you're breathing in. You're actually using the body's innate wisdom, innate intelligence,
mm-hmm.
to scan through your feelings. As you're breathing into feelings, your brain then is allowed to see it, because you're using your breath to give your brain that witness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then your brain knows how to digest it.
Right.
So I love that opportunity that we can all use to work with our breath,
mm-hmm.
and to let that be a tool of powerful healing for each of us.
Right. And it's much more than just the brain itself, because, you know, the mind extends through all the internal organs.
It's the whole brain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The enteric nervous system, for instance, lining the digestive tract, 100 million neurons, you know, producing the same neurotransmitters as found in the brain. And just through this process of exploration, discovery, you know, I mentioned that how I was working in my heart, and as I was breathing into the feelings and sensations, first there was that kind of deadness, flat, and then that ache. But as I continued, there was like this warmth and euphoric feelings, feeling closer to the higher power. But then after a couple of months, I thought, I wonder what would happen if I went down into my intestines. And so I started putting all my attention deep in my intestines and breathing soft and deep, same kind of practice, but focused in the intestines. Didn't feel much at first, but then after a while, rumbling, churning, burning, pulsing, tingling, sometimes you start purging down here, you know, you actually start eliminating toxins. And But that began to open up this whole deeper instinctual consciousness. So before, where I was living more up in my head, it dropped the focal point of reference. So I would meet and interact with people, and instead of just hearing what they said, I could feel what their intentions were. I could feel where they were coming from.
Powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so this is an opportunity for us to learn what our brain can do when it has the opportunity to digest our resistance, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And when we get our resistance out of the way, mm-hmm. we have powers that we haven't even seen before.
Right. And there's it aligns us with that deeper intuitive, you know, this whole natural flowing with the cycle of life, and that magical word, digestion. The food we eat, you know, whatever we consume, we have to break down, metabolize, derive the nutrients, shoot out the waste product, and but this is how we survive, you know.
Just so we can use that as a metaphor for life.
Right. And so whatever we experience in life, whatever events, circumstances, like I teach these classes, for instance, healing the loss of a love, attracting a healthy, loving relationship. One of the big areas where people get into so much trouble is, well, one, they haven't had that much experience. Like they haven't met that many potential partners. And they end up getting involved with somebody. Doesn't work out quite the way they would hope it to, or they would want it to, and then they experience all this tremendous hurt, loss, pain, and they're not able to process, digest, assimilate that, and so
a lot of they get stuck with it.
They do, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it becomes their barriers to meeting the next person.
Yeah.
And so there's so many parts of our lives that we could work on mm-hmm. by digesting them and using our breath to do that.
And when we digest, it helps us to maintain that kind of fluidity. Like you see with children, adolescents, young adults, how they move readily from one stage to the next in their development. And so learning this digestive assimilative process helps to keep us more fluid, more flexible, more present, dynamic, engaged.
And youthful, like children are.
Yes.
That's good, too. We only have a couple of minutes left, so where are you located?
Primarily in New York. I work in Boston every other week, but primarily here. And just working with people all over New York and Jersey.
And how do people find you?
My cell phone number where I could be reached is 913-927-4281. And my two websites, there's benufana.wordpress.com.
Now, Ufana is spelled O-O-F-A-N-A.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ben Ufana.
Benufana.wordpress.com and also doyom.com, doyom.com.
Great. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you so much. This is wonderful talking with you. I think we'll do some more talking in a future show
Sounds
or two
because
I'm really enjoying what you know and how you do it too.
Yeah, thank you.
So Ben, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew, at prn.fm, and I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. A lot of classes going on, all kinds of things to do. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.